Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Well, welcome everybody to episode number 5 of the Abundant Life Podcast. And I'm here with my good friend, Sasso Mendez. And
hey.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good week. What'd you think about this week? Any tacos this week, man?
You know what? I had tacos on Tuesday, and I went to, I'm not going to name the place, but it was good. The line was like 30 minutes, so, I mean, it ate up half my lunch break, but I had a good time. I was there with a friend from work, but I will say it wasn't as good as the ribs we had tonight.
You got to say those ribs were pretty good.
If doing the podcast, eating those ribs, I don't know. We might put on the podcast 20.
Yeah, I had some homemade tacos this week. Well, you know the thing I like about tacos, man, you can get a corn tortilla and put just about any meat on there. See, the cool thing is my wife doesn't like leftovers. Oh. Not sure if she wants me saying that on the podcast or not, but just saying, she doesn't like leftovers. So the cool thing about it is I get to eat all the leftovers. The thing I like about leftovers is, man, I can make tacos just about out of anything. So if there's any kind of leftover meat, I'll just, you know, heat up a corn tortilla. Slap something on there, a little salsa on top, boom.
Well, how many slabs of ribs did you cook tonight?
Six. We got six racks.
You have meat. Will you put barbecue rib meat on there?
Oh, yeah. I'll make taco rib tacos. Yeah, absolutely.
So is that what you're having for dinner tomorrow night?
Maybe. Probably lunch. I'll probably definitely have that for lunch.
Oh, man, that was legit. That was so good. I can still taste it. Hold on, let me close my eyes. Yep, I'm there again. Well, I like the hard tacos, though, Ben. I went to a place and got some hard tacos as well 2 weeks ago. For the family, it was like $11.50 dinner for us.
Well, you know, before I moved to Arizona, that's all I knew about was hard tacos. Back in New Mexico, that's just how they fix them. Everything's hard tacos. There's not really many street tacos out there. So when I came here, I had no idea what street tacos were. So I'm like, that's a taco. I didn't know that was tacos. And now I really like street tacos. But I still have a affinity for a hard shell because that was that's how I grew up, man.
That's why I like Thanksgiving. My mom would, whatever was up for the turkey, those were turkey tacos on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I miss those. But yeah, sweet tacos, that was Charles's thing. And then you started, you liked it. You brought it into, and then Jason. But I don't listen to Jason anymore on tacos. He goes to the taco shop, he doesn't get tacos. You can't trust a guy like that.
Dude, Charles knows all the taco spots, man. He knows every single one. I think he's tried just about every single one. He got me into tacos and... Tell you what, man, I love tacos.
Well, I think Jason is like one of those guys that goes to a Mexican restaurant and gets a chicken fingers or gets a hamburger. I can't trust this guy. I know of a good Mexican spot and doesn't get tacos. Unbelievable. So, well, I'm looking forward to some tacos today. We're recording on a Sunday night tonight, so we have only wait 2 days for tacos, hopefully.
Yep.
At a discount price.
Well, we're going to get started with today's episode. Today's episode, we're going to be covering the topic of repentance. Now, I will say that, it was a few weeks ago, I was having a Bible study with a couple of buddies, and my buddy Tim had brought up this topic of repentance, and it really just kind of stuck with me, and I started kind of, investigating it a little bit more, and as we began the podcast, we had, several different episodes, and I thought, man, it'd be really cool to get the topic of repentance in there. And we thought, it would be a really good topic right after, which, we just had the topic of humility and surrender. So it kind of goes right in line with that. Mm. And so, we're going to be talking about repentance today. So
excited about this one.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So we're hopefully we'll stay in our, 45 minute range or so. Seems like our podcast time has been growing and growing over the last few episodes. But hey, this is good stuff. It's God's word. And hopefully I learned a lot about repentance and studying it.
Amen.
Me too. And so, let's get in. Repentance, it's a very important topic because the Bible mentions this word repent over 100 times. So I actually did a quick search. I didn't go and literally count them all, but I did a search and apparently it shows up 100 times depending on which, Bible version you're reading. But the word repent in relation to sin has sort of a dual meaning, but in the end it means the same thing. And I'm going to get into that here in just a second. But before we get into the actual discussion, I want to take a moment and lay out an important consideration before we get into this topic of repentance. So I want to make it clear how God views sin because repentance has everything to do with our mindset. It's also going to be touching on mindset a little bit later in the podcast, but it's a mindset on how we view sin, which causes us to act out in sin. So God literally hates sin. But why? Well, because it's the very antithesis of God's nature. And the Bible tells us that God is holy, which simply means he's pure and there's no wickedness in him. Psalm 92:15 reads this: to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You see, it's our sin that separates us from him. So needless to say, God hates sin.
Amen. But on that, I mean, there is a standard that we go by to know, well, what, so if there is sin, what is the opposite of that? And I go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you, which is God calling you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Yeah, I think of that. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ben.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you just said, you know, what's the opposite of God? And it's funny because you ask somebody that and most people say, well, Satan, you know, he's the opposite of God. But it's like you said, no, it's sin. Sin is literally the opposite of God.
And he's definitely not holy, Satan. For
no,
sure.
No.
But I look at that in all manner of conversation. I think that's where a lot of us get tripped up, myself included, is in anything that comes out of my mouth, is it a holy conversation? Is it something that God is pleased with? Is it without sin? And the standard is not Ben. The standard is not my wife. The standard is not my pastor. The standard is God that's called me to be holy. That is his standard. Is he is holy. He is without sin. He is perfect.
Right.
Not, I can compare myself to anyone else and find someone that's not
right
as bad as I am.
You can always find somebody worse than you, somebody better than you, but
a lot of people come to mind right now. Actually, like, oh yeah, I remember this guy. And I'm sure I'm somebody for someone else as well. That's awesome. He's terrible. So but the standard is not me. The standard is not you. The standard is God.
Praise the Lord, right? I mean, praise the Lord for that.
That's praise for that high standard that he's holy.
Right.
And just to give a definition of repentance, what is that? It's a change of mind. So go back to 1828 to Webster's Dictionary. I wasn't alive back then in those days, even though my kids may think I was not. Repentance is a change of mind or a conversation from sin, as we talked, as Ben talked about, to God, which is holy. Repentance is a relinquishment of any practice from conviction. So you're surrendering, that we talked about last podcast, that it has something that has offended God, that you said, hey, I don't want to offend Almighty God, and just different things that we do in our life that are sinful offend God because he is holy.
Yep. So what I'm going to do, so thank you for that definition, by the way, from the 1828. And I'm going to geek out a little bit here as well, because like I was really looking into this because I had read, you know, it's kind of similar, you know, that the definition was it's a change of mind. And then, you know, I had always heard pastor preach, you know, hey, this is a turning from sin. So I'm like, well, which is it? Or is it the same thing? So I actually went ahead and just kind of dove into, you know, the definitions, you know, because the Bible's broken up into Hebrew and Greek.
That's right.
So I kind of wanted to define what repentance means. So in the Old Testament, the word repent, as mentioned in Ezekiel 14:6, so I kind of drew this out of Ezekiel 14:6. So in Hebrew, the word repent is shub, and it means to turn back or turn away from. So with that definition in mind, let's read Ezekiel 14:6, which says, therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, or again, we could say turn from or turn away. And then it says, and turn yourselves from idols. So it's interesting. It says turn away from and then turn. So sometimes when they repeat themselves in Hebrew, it's just really iterating or really that stressing.
Emphasis, yeah.
Yeah. It's just adding emphasis to that term. It says, and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all abominations. Okay. So then if we take a look at the New Testament scripture, for example, like in Acts 38, the Apostle Peter uses the word repent. The word repent here in Greek, which is metanoeo, and that's kind of a hard one to say, which means to think differently or to change your mind, as Sasso mentioned from the 1828. But what are we to change our minds about? About sin, or maybe how we think about sin? In other words, it's our mindset on how we view sin. And with that definition in mind, let's read the verse. So Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, or change your mind. And if we mix that in with the Hebrew, change your mind and turn away and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
I mean, I think of the mindset of repentance, as we spoke about in the 828 Webster Dictionary, it is a change of mind, conversion from sin to God. And I think of the mind, and our mind makes everything change. The mind changes our actions. This year, my birthday was on Easter Sunday, and I remember sitting in those deacons meetings in March when we were going to not be able to have church due to COVID and the numbers that were 2 million people are going to die. And so we were taking precautions to protect the congregation. So, hey, we're not going to have church. And I think the sentiment was, hey, we'll be back by Easter Sunday, which was April the 12th, which is my birthday. And I was like, cool. This is the first time I've ever had Easter Sunday where we weren't in church. April 12th came and we didn't have no church. And we had Easter services via live stream. And it was honestly terrible. I missed the worshiping with people, singing these Easter songs. And then sadly, I missed out like the restaurants I could go to for my birthday. There was no tacos. There was, my parents brought home some fried chicken. And I think of how our mind changed. If you would have told us 2 years ago, hey, we're going to have Easter Sunday live stream, they would have not have happened. But the mind changed and our actions changed. And that's the mindset of repentance. It's not just saying, okay, maybe we shouldn't go to church on Easter Sunday, but there was definitely precautions. Church was not open. Church was locked. Church was live streamed. There was things that were actions that were taken that we said, hey, we're going to change everything that we do because our mindset was changed because we kind of were worried or concerned about COVID. And the same thing with repentance.
There was a lot of mind change going on with COVID. I mean, you think about it, people are washing their hands more. People are, wearing masks. It's just, you have to think, oh, before I leave the house, I have to grab my mask. There's just a lot of mind change going on, which, some of it's good. I mean, washing your hands is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Cochinos out there.
For sure. So I get it, man. Yeah, the mindset is definitely important.
And it changed everything in how we did things, where we didn't know how to hug people. We didn't know how to shake hands. Offerings change even now in our church where we place it in the back or whatever. It's just not the same. And so COVID, there was a change of mind change. And because our mind changed, our actions have changed. And same thing with the repentance. There's a mindset that goes in there because the mind is the control center. The mind controls what we think about, how we think about it, and how we don't think about things. So I just want to go in some verses here. Romans 6:1-2 states, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Man, I remember this verse when I was a kid, and we used to say this before we went to bed for like maybe a couple of days, and if we could memorize this verse, I could get a Dr. Pepper out of the Coke machine. I think it was like 25 cents, but it was so important. So I memorized this verse, and I didn't think anything of it, but I think of it now that it's a mind change that I shouldn't be comfortable continuing in sin. Because my mind is changing. My mind is saying, no, God forbids that. I should forbid that because God is holy. Proverbs 8:13 states, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." I think of this verse, and I hate the evil, pride and arrogancy in other people, but do I hate it in myself? And I ask, our listeners here, do you hate sin? As the fear of the Lord is, to fear God is to hate sin, devoid of consequences. If we had a free-for-all, and when God says, hey, you have a free pass to sin, which he never would say, what would we choose to do? If there were no consequences, would we still choose to do what's right? And that's when your mind has changed. It doesn't matter the consequences because you have a mindset change to do right.
Right.
I think of the woman at the well when she said, "Come see a man," which told me all things that I ever did, is not this the Christ? I think of how she looked at Jesus when he first came. She did not look at him as the Messiah. She was still looking for the Messiah. She was saying, hey, who are you? I don't even know who you are. And then at the end of that conversation, she was like, she went and go tell all her neighbors, like, hey, I just literally met someone that changed my life. She had a change of mind of who she was talking to. In the beginning, she was looking for the Messiah, but in the end, she found the Messiah. And we were talking about the chosen, and that's a powerful message there when he's talking to the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And you can see literally how Jesus spoke to her and how she just came alive where she had no hope. And like, why are you talking to me, a Samaritan?
Yes.
And you're a Jew. Like, who are you? You're not even supposed to be here. Like, I'm not getting you water.
Right.
And then she literally dropped everything she had and her mind changed from, who is this guy to, wow, this is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know if you've seen that episode.
Yeah, episode 8 of The Chosen. And by the way, if you guys have not seen The Chosen, I definitely recommend it. It's a really good reenactment of you know, some of the biblical stories of it's Jesus. Awesome. It's just really good. They did a really good job with it.
And so she just, I mean, her mind is changing. So a repentance, a mind change, a woman at the well. In John 5:24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting mm-hmm. life and shall Amen. Not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life."
Amen.
So it's hearing the word and believing him that sent me. The problem is a lot of people don't, they hear it, but they don't believe. There is no change of who God is. There's no change that he is the Messiah, that he is the one, that he is the way to eternal life. It's the mindset is we're all prone to say, well, if I'm good or if I do this, I'm good with God.
Well, and I think too, like I think a lot of people, you know, they confuse knowledge with belief. So like people will think, well, I know this and I really know this. And they think they know it so much that they believe it, but they really don't believe it. They've never grasped it. They've never had the mind change. They've never had that mindset, you know, but they have the knowledge. And so it's like they trick themselves into thinking that they believe, but they don't.
Well, just like there's a lady that came, her name was Rosemary, and now she's in heaven and she passed away a couple weeks ago. We had her service this past Saturday, and she took religious studies in college, was well educated in religion, knew religion quite well, knew about the Bible, did the exchange and realized that there were some things that she didn't realize that God was the only way. It was a mind change for her from going of all religion is good from no saying, no, that's not good. Christ is the only way. Christ is the answer.
Amen.
Christ is the only way to everlasting life. So it's just a mind change.
Yeah.
And then to close up here, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And I think of, I'll just tell you a funny story. I was playing football, and I probably at that time was maybe 245, 240 is pretty hefty. And I caught a pass, and I was headed for the end zone, and my little legs outran my body. And I'm top heavy here, you know, as it is. So I was running, and I could feel myself falling. And I remember a month ago we were playing, and a guy put his hand out and, like, separated his shoulder, and my arm went to go out. And my mind said, "Don't do that, Sasa. Pull your arm back. You're too fat. You're gonna break your arm, whatever." So I pulled my arm around and I spun and I said, "I'm just gonna land on my back." And well, I hit my head too.
Oh!
And we're playing in the day. My glasses flew right off, and I closed my eyes. It was quite an impact because I hit the ground fairly hard. I'm 5'6". I didn't go too far, but I still hit it pretty hard at 245 pounds. And during the course of that, my glasses flew off. My sunglasses. I had these deep, dark sunglasses. Well, when I opened my eyes, all I saw was bright lights. And I thought, oh, I'm in heaven. I made it.
Road to Damascus,
they're
right?
Like, they're like, yeah, Paul, like it's like Apostle Paul. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And they're like, oh, just put your sunglasses on. Oh, okay. And I remember the change from when I fell down, it was dark. And when I got up, it was light. I know that's a silly story, but that's God opening our eyes to change our mind. To open our eyes to the truth, to open our eyes from darkness for where we were headed to hell. Now we're headed to heaven because we're changing our mind from the power of Satan unto God. And we are able to receive the forgiveness of sins because we have a mind change of who God is and what he is and what is necessary to, you know, have eternal life.
Amen. And I love that focus on mindset. So it's really definitely something to consider because and that's really what it is. Repentance is that change of mind, your mindset and how you view sin and how do you really believe that sin is what it is. What God yeah. calls sin is sin. What God hates is really what we should hate. That mind change is really what repentance is. But before, you know, we jump into examples of you know, of the rejection of repentance, which is going to be an interesting little subtopic here. And even some true examples of repentance. I want to take a moment and ponder the fact that repentance is a gift from God. Mm. And Sasa, if I were to ask you, you know, would you have ever considered repentance a gift? What would you say?
No, absolutely not.
You know, and the same here. And so, it ponders, you know, what's the question is, you know, is repentance something that we should be praying for? Mm. And I never thought of it like that. I never thought, you know, should I be praying, Lord, would you gift me or give me repentance But it's true, because what are you asking for? You're asking for what? A change of mind.
That's right.
You're asking, Lord, change me into your mindset. Give me the mindset of Christ. And I want to take a look at a few verses here so that we can kind of see that. So Romans 2:4, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? So see, God's kindness is the gift. And you go look at Acts 5:31. It says, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. So again, you see the Lord is giving the repentance. He's giving it. Amen. He's gifting it. Acts 11:18. When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So now to answer the question, should you be praying for repentance? And the answer would be 100%.
Absolutely.
Yes, amen. Absolutely. So I have to be completely honest. And before we got into repentance, I didn't realize this was a gift from God. I had no clue. And so this is definitely something I'm going to be praying for. And this is something I would encourage even you to pray for. So another thing worth noting is that repentance is a lifelong mindset. That's right. We must have at least until we reach glory. So we have to have this mindset of repentance. It's not an easy one. It's not something that you're always thinking about it. You know, I know pastor always preaches, keep your account short with God. And it's true. We need to keep thinking about this repentance. And this coming off of our episode on humility, it just makes a lot of sense, because if you're being truly humble, and then even taking that back one more episode on surrender, if you're surrendering, you're staying humble, hey, guess what? You're going to have a repentant heart. Your mindset is going to be changed. And again, that goal is to be changed into the mindset of Jesus.
And Ben, just saying, I can interject here. I used to think when you got saved, you had full repentance. And coming when this study, I started to realize that repentance is a daily sanctification process.
Yes.
That we'll get into sanctification a couple episodes down the road here.
Yep.
I just thought, well, I'm saved, I repented, but it's repenting all the time, because as you grow in Christ, things that you thought were good to do or okay to do, you start to realize. It's like you sent me that message that ripped my face off, right? And I was just like, wow, there's a lot of things in my life that I just need to go in my Amazon playlist and delete some songs that are not honoring. Mm. And it was because it was repentance of change of mind.
Yeah.
So these are, I like this very, very much, because it's a telling tale of repentance is a, not even a daily thing, but moment by moment, as the Holy Spirit convicts you to say, you shouldn't have said that, and or you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't think that way, and we're convicted. We need to change our mind on holiness, and not our standard, as we talked about earlier, but what is God's standard?
Yeah, no, and that's true. I mean, keeping your heart tender and you know, asking God for the gift of repentance. I think that's, you know, really truly asking God, you know, can you tell me or please, you know, convict me, asking the Holy Spirit, convict me of my sin, you know, convict me when I'm doing something that's not pleasing to you, so that I can have that change of mind, because we want to please him. And we know that if we don't know that we're sinning, I mean, we want to know, right? I mean, we don't want to be ignorant in our sin. So I think praying for the Lord to reveal our sin, and also praying for repentance, is what a believer should be doing pretty much all the time. So Sasso is now going to give, I think, three negative examples of repentance. And in other words, guys, this is what not to do. So as they say, children, don't try this at home.
And this is very true. I mean, because this is us too, right? God puts it in the Bible because this is how we are sometimes in repentance. We don't want to repent. But I think of the verses Acts 24:24-25. The Bible says, Paul gave his testimony between the king here, and these words that Paul spoke, the gospel, made Felix tremble, the things that Paul came out of Paul's mouth. Yeah. So in verse 24, 25, he said, and after a certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, not a popular name nowadays, but it's still in the Bible here, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And I think of these fateful words that Felix did. He trembled at what Paul had said, and he was moved, but he was not changed. Mm. He was not repentive. He said, when the time's convenient, I'll call you back. When the time was ready for me, I'll get you. You'll come back, and you know, maybe I'll get things right with God. Wow, he was convicted. There's been church services, you know, camp revival meetings where I've trembled. And I trembled my way to the altar because of just that pressure from the Holy Spirit. And while he was convicted but not repented, in Matthew Henry commentary, Matthew Henry states, a prospect of judgment to come is not enough to make the stoutest heart to tremble. Felix trembled, but that was all. Many are startled by the word of God who are not changed by it.
Why do you think that is? I mean, that's got to be, I guess, pride. The root of it is pride. It's at the core of it. You know, your heart's just hardened. And so when you're being called by the Holy Spirit, you're being prodded, you know, you could hear a message and you're smitten. But you don't repent because you're rejecting, and that's what you're talking about here. And I think that's because it's got to be pride.
Humility, correct. Humility. We love something more than we love God.
Right.
We're not willing to change things. We're not willing to go to the Amazon music and delete some things.
Right.
Because we love it. You know, it's pride. It's absolutely what you said. And I think that's why humility last podcast was so powerful, building on surrendering and then being humility and now repentance of actually doing the change that is necessary when those two are tied together. I've often heard the expression, I'm stirred, but I'm not changed. And I go back to that Matthew Henry, and just, he said, many are startled by the word of God who are not changed by it. And how many people have read the word of God and nothing's changed, nothing? It's, wow, that's powerful truth, but I'm just not ready to get saved. And the same thing here, we have Felix who trembled and said, hey, there's going to come a day where I'll be convenient. The Bible never says he got saved, and he might be spending eternity in hell because he chose that convenient season never came. And I thought, what a sad case of someone who had the opportunity to repent but sought a convenient time, which is, it's not noted that he ever came to that point of salvation. Are you waiting for a convenient time to repent to God? Are you saying, hey, I want to have some more fun, or hey, I want to listen to that, or I want to do that, or I want to just be disobedient? I'm not willing to change my mind quite yet, but I know I should. I'm just not willing to do it. God help us not to do that.
Well, you know, and I've heard, you know, people say, I've heard this, I've actually had somebody real close to me say this, well, you know, I'll do that when I'm on my deathbed. And I'm thinking, dude, you may not have a deathbed. You don't know the date and time. Your next breath is a blessing, you know. But so if I had a challenge for the listener out there, don't wait. You don't know.
Yeah, we both of us know plenty of people that have not exited this world on the deathbed.
Right.
I worked at the county attorney's office for vehicular crimes. I wanted homicide and I wanted gangs. Those were two cool things that I wanted, but they gave me vehicular crimes, which I thought, man, this is boring. Yeah. And I was really upset. I'm like, God, I can't believe in my last semester you gave me these, you know, this internship. But it's vehicular crimes, and it dealt with, you know, the death of a lot of people, anybody from 12, 13 years old to 65, 70. And there was no convenient time for them. There was no time for them to repent as they, you know, however they died, but they died suddenly. And I just think, wow, what a waste of a life to go to know the truth and not repent and change your mind on it.
Yeah.
What a sad thing. And I think of Paul. He was also given an audience before King Agrippa, who desired to hear Paul, as Paul started becoming a bit of a celebrity, and because he's like, man, this guy is educated. He's a good speaker. Hey, let me hear what he has to say. He's stirring up the whole world by his preaching. Let's hear it. Bring him before me.
He's kind of a celebrity, I guess.
Yeah, huh? He was. He was like the Paul Washer of his day, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to say
John MacArthur.
I don't want to say. Yeah, maybe. He was, you know, like John MacArthur. He's getting an audience. Yeah, he's on CNN, Fox News. He's on all those things. Yeah. And this was Paul. He was on the Jewish network. I don't know.
The
Roman network. There you go. Right after, I don't know, whoever it was at the time. So King Agrippa came on, then Paul, I don't know, on the Roman network there. RRN, I don't know, something like that. So he gives his testimony and speaks of witnessing to the Jews and to the people, small and great. He also speaks of his own conversion, his own heavenly calling to preach the gospel to everyone. And then in verse 20, he says in Acts chapter 26, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. So King Agrippa here was given the gospel, but what did he do with what he heard? In verses 24, he accuses Paul of being mad, like being crazy, being out of his gourd.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe, like, Paul, I've heard you're smart, but you're absolutely nuts. Like, you're crazy. But Paul doesn't stop. He continues. And an embarrassed Agrippa responds with Acts 26, 28. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Wow.
Mockingly, as to say, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And there's been people that I've, you know, witnessed to that have laughed at the message. And it's like, oh yeah, that sounds so easy and so good, almost. And what a sad way to be almost. Saul was repentant and set the world on fire. The Apostle Paul, I'm sorry. But Felix and King Agrippa denied the power of repentance. And they basically denied the gospel, which we will discuss in the next podcast about the gospel.
Yep.
These men were devoid of it. They were devoid of 2 Corinthians 7:10, which says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance.
Yes.
To salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. These gentlemen had the sorrow of the world, mm-hmm. but they didn't have the sorrow unto salvation for repentance. Like I said, they were stirred but not changed. And King Agrippa, I'm not even sure he was stirred. Mm. He would just mockingly say, well, you're close to getting me to salvation, but it's not for me.
Yeah.
Never says he came to Christ, and because of that decision of not to repent, he probably spent an eternity in hell if he didn't repent.
Yeah.
That is his fate. That's what he chose. Mark 1:15 states, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Sadly, these men rejected Jesus Christ, and there is no record that they accepted the free gift of salvation. And I think of, so that's, you know, the unsaved. What about Christians who reject repentance and do not see spiritual victory in their life? His repentance was outwardly only. I think of a lot of people that we have messages that we hear, and there's, I go forward, but there's no outward change on Monday. It's a Sunday Christian warrior,
yeah.
But, you know, nothing ever happens. It's a sad, man. We have revival services at church sometimes. And even in my own self, I've made decisions there that have not always transformed me. You know, on Monday morning, the sin comes, like, yeah, I just go right back into it because I'm not repentant.
Right.
So let's go over to 1 Kings 21, verses 17 to 29. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down and meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, haste, thou found me, O mine enemy. And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty nasty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things, as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his Sundays will I bring evil upon his house. I think, I know that's a lengthy passage there. I think of Ahab, who's pretty wicked, and God foretold of his death because of how wicked he was, which lick his blood. I mean, that's pretty, the dogs would, you know, lick his blood. As nasty.
Well, then he was married to Jezebel, which she was extremely wicked.
Yeah, nobody names their daughter Jezebel.
No.
With any ambitions of anything good coming out of that daughter. And I think of it, he's like a foxhole conversion. I mean, Ben, if you were told, hey, the dog's going to lick your blood, you would probably say, wow, I need to change how I'm living.
Yeah.
He is given a reprieve of his, because of his humility. And that's what we talked about. And humility is great. It's great to have humility. But there was no change of heart. There was no change of mind, no repentance. He did not repent, as seen in the following chapter, where he tricked King Jehoshaphat into a twofold compromise, which showed he was truly not repentant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was just scared of that God was going to take his life. And it did happen, as it was foretold, because he was not repentant in his life. And God knew that. We go to Proverbs 26:11, and I love this verse. It says, the dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And this shows to me an unrepentant heart. I think of many times when, if I were to view my sin as vomit, how different my life would be, because there's many times where I'm comfortable with it, and you just, because sometimes you got besetting sins that you struggle with, that it's basically you're just keep returning to the vomit. Yeah. There's repentance. There's no change, and you're just, it's nasty. I think at one time my cousin Paul and his dog was throwing up, and I said, "Your dog's gonna eat that." And he's like, "No, he's not. My dog." And I said, "There's a verse in the Bible. That's probably the only verse I knew at the time. Like, it's in Proverbs somewhere. Your dog's gonna eat it." And sure enough, his dog heard it. He goes, "How did you know that?" "Well, it's in the Bible." And it talks about that, but that's what we do spiritually, right? Because we don't repent. We eat that vomit of unrepentance, of sin, of wickedness. And you look at 1 Kings 22, where Ahab, the consequences, where in Matthew 7:21 states, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom." Yeah. That's a powerful verse. That's another topic from the day. Yeah. But just because we say it doesn't mean that we're truly repentant. We have to have a change of mind, change of heart.
Yeah, that verse in Matthew 7, I think it is, right? 7:21.
Yeah, 7:21.
Yeah, and man, that gets me every time. It's a humbling verse. I mean, when you see it, because I know I'm a believer. I know I love the Lord. But when I see that verse, it almost makes me tremble, because it's kind of like, you know, you're standing before the Lord, and man, if he says that, whew, you know, I guess I know the depth of that. You know, I know I know what the consequences of that is. And there's people that, unfortunately, that's where they're going to be.
It's a sad fate.
Yeah, no doubt. So now I want to focus on some examples of true repentance. So what examples can we take from Scripture about true repentance? Well, the first example that we can look to is King David. Now, remember King David's sin with Bathsheba and Bathsheba's husband Uriah? Yeah, David basically had an affair with Bathsheba, getting her pregnant, and then had her husband killed. Sounds pretty bad, right? It's pretty bad. We call that sin, or we call it lawlessness. And in God's eyes, it's wicked and evil. Mm-hmm. But we read about David's repentance in Psalm 32 and in Psalm 51. And I recommend you take the time to read both of those Psalms. They're really good Psalms. But just to understand the mindset and the heart of David, let's just pull a few verses from those Psalms. Psalm 32:5, and this is David's mindset in how he's acknowledging his sin. He says, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin."
Amen.
And then we look at Psalm 51:3-4, and again, David's mindset is acknowledging his sin. He says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment." Amen. And then we read in Psalm 51:10, and this is where David asks God for a change of mind. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So this is where, you know, we were talking earlier about asking God for that gift of repentance. This is exactly another example right here of David doing that. So my question to you is, do you acknowledge your sin? Do you ask God to renew your mind? And then we think about another example of true repentance. And I think of the prodigal son in Luke 15. And you remember this story, right? I mean, the son goes to his father and he asks for his inheritance. And then the Bible tells us that the son went off to a far country and he spent his inheritance on reckless living. Then a famine hit. And unfortunately, this son had spent all of his money. So then he went off to find a job. And what kind of job does he get? He gets a job feeding pigs. So he was so hungry that he wanted to eat the pig food, but nobody gave him pig food. So the Bible says that, explicitly says it. Nobody gave him pig food. And then we see the repentance happen in Luke 15:17-19, which leads to the action in verse 20. So that's kind of what Sasa was talking about earlier. You have the repentance, which leads to an action. So that if that repentance doesn't truly happen, you probably likely won't see the action. Amen. So let's read the repentance here. It's in Luke 15:17-19. And we read, "But when he came to himself," and that's the change of mind, "when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" And you see the humility in that as well. And then in Luke 15:20, we read the action. So it says, the Bible says, "And he rose and came to his father. This is the action that stemmed from true repentance. So in a moment, we're gonna look at the fruits of repentance, but that's the action. So and we know that this is a parable, this is a story, but this is also a really a depiction of how our relationship with God is. God is waiting for us with open arms, and but we have to what?
Amen.
We have to repent, and we have to go to Him. But you know what? God comes running out to us, and He puts a ring on our finger, He puts a robe on our back, and He accepts us as His son.
Yeah.
And so it's just it's an amazing parable. But then another really cool story I think about where you see repentance in scripture is our wee little friend Zacchaeus. So Zacchaeus, you know, he was a rich tax collector, and he had heard about Jesus, you know, and he knew Jesus was coming, and he wanted to get up close, but he couldn't see because he was a short little guy. So he climbed a sycamore tree.
Nothing wrong with that.
Just saying, right?
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. So Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was coming. You know, he climbed up the tree, and he was seeking him, and Jesus went right up to him, and he told him to come down because Jesus was going to go visit Zacchaeus's house. And then we see Zacchaeus was ready to receive Jesus, and it reads in Luke 19:6. So he hurried and he came down and he received him joyfully. So it's like right there, you see that change right there. That change just happened. He received him joyfully. So how do we know that Zacchaeus repented? Well, we see the fruit. Okay, and this is the key, the fruit of genuine repentance, which is in verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold."
Wow.
So then verse 9 is the confirmation. You see Jesus' response, which is priceless. He says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost.'"
And I think a man of that, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He's, you know, I don't know if you ever sang that song.
It's the song, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the top, it's on the top 20 of Sunday school songs of all time.
The top 20 billboards.
Christian
Sunday school.
Yeah, there you go. I think there's a book with the Zacchaeus, but that's a great song, and it's a great, powerful truth of repentance. I want to give you another one that's super powerful. The greatest Christian that many would say, probably not, can't argue against it, is the Apostle Paul.
Mm.
But who was Paul? He was Saul before he was Paul.
Right.
I think I look at Acts chapter 7 verses 58 through 60, that he's at the stoning of Stephen. He's there at the scene, and he's not helping Stephen. Stephen was, a great Christian as well.
Yeah.
But Saul at that time was persecuting Christians. He was leading the pack of these unbelievers and did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. So just what are some characteristics of Saul at that time? He was a persecutor. He was a blasphemer. He was an injurer to Christians. And most of all, he was an unbeliever. Mm. His mindset was against God, as he was not a believer. There's things in 1 Corinthians 15:9 where it shows that he was a church prosecutor. He prosecuted the church. That was his job. That was his goal.
Wow.
I look at Acts 22, 1 through 11, where Paul gives an account of his testimony. His conversion was, which he was presenting before an enraged multitude. I think of how he was knocked off and on the Damascus Road in verses 6 through 11. So he was just coming through, ready to go, start some fracas with other Christians, ready to persecute, ready to do what Saul did at that time. And he was on the Damascus Road, and you see he gets knocked off the horse, and you see a surrender to God. Like, what would you have me to do? Was his immediate words when he got knocked off. Mm-hmm. Paul's repentance is seen here as he goes from what he wants to do to asking the question, "What shall I do, Lord?" And I think of true repentance, we said many times, is a turning away from our journey, our own way, and turning to God. I think of what my life was like after camp. Surrender, or a message I was convicted about. And many times it was a message I was convicted about, but I didn't take action to repentance.
Yeah.
And there's other times where God really ripped my heart out. And there's people I had to call, and parents that I had to come home to and ask for forgiveness because I was wrong and I needed to repent of my ways. And there's pride in that too, where, well, what I did was not too bad, but the Bible requires us to make things right.
Yeah.
Just as Zacchaeus did, he took the action and he went and said, "Hey, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to pay people back fourfold." And I think that's, the works of repentance. It's what comes out.
Right.
I think of Paul here as well, as he's speaking of his conversion. But he would be given this great opportunity to present his case before Felix, who was the governor of Judea and Samaria. And you think of Felix, who was known for his evil deeds, but Paul would give him the gospel, which would literally make him tremble. So he went from someone that was not a believer to someone that, without being ashamed, without fear of his own life, he just preached the word. He was not the same before. Was he the same before Saul to Paul, or did his life display a change of mind? Not only did his life turn the world on fire for Jesus Christ, if you read the epistles he wrote, but you see that his even name was changed from Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
And what a powerful testimony of repentance. From what he was to what God used him in the New Testament to just change even the churches that we go to now have a lineage back to the Apostle Paul and how God used him. And then I just think of sorrow versus repentance. And you look here at Peter versus Judas and just the two different personalities that these two were. And I think they were both people that we would not aspire to be, people that we would not say we would do. But I think we've all been either one of these two characters.
Yeah.
And I think of Judas, and he says, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Speaking of Jesus, and they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. So that's when Judas decides, hey, I'm going to do that. In verse 25 of that same chapter, said, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said. I mean, that's Jesus identifies him like, yeah, it's you, bro. Like, you're the one that's going to do it.
Well, you know, and just thinking about it, you know, this just kind of hit me right now when you were talking about, you know, when Judas agreed, you know, he made the decision. He was going to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver. That was a mindset change. He made a mindset right there. So not to repentance. That's not repent. Nope, that was almost the opposite. I mean, he's going the opposite way. But it was a change of mind there. But that was a mindset that he put in his mind. And then from that point on, what happened? He sought to seek a point where he could betray Jesus. I hadn't seen that before, but I just saw that now.
Amen. So he took the silver, right? That's what he wanted. He got what he needed. But we look at Peter, and Peter's not without fault here either. And God said, hey, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter didn't believe it. He said, not I, Lord. But if you look in verse 33, Peter answered, said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus straight up told him, said unto him, verily I say unto you that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Mm. Likewise, also said the disciples. And I think of some actions after that. And I think of Judas in verse 49 of the same chapter said, and forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. Basically put in the kiss of death to identify him, and how, like you said, his mind had changed. And not only was he, now he was going through all the way of a mind change and the evil fruit that comes from that wicked mind change to do wrong. And I think of Peter here in just in verses 73, 75, and after a while came unto him that they stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art also one of them, one of the disciples. They were accusing of him. For thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times or thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
Yeah.
So you have the sorrow of Peter. He knows he's messed up. He knows that the very words of Jesus came to fruition. And if I was there, I'd be bitter. I mean, there's times in my life where I've known I've sinned against God, and I've had the same reaction. But then you look his sorrow, and you look at Judas's sorrow as well. Judas had sorrow as well for the same thing. Then Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So here you don't see a true change. He feels sorry for what he did, and in his own sorrow, not considering repentance, he hung himself.
So it would have been kind of an example, like you were talking about earlier, Saul. So you said, you read the verse about the godly sorrow, but this would be a worldly sorrow. He was sorry he got caught. You know, he had his hand in the cookie jar. He got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. He was upset about it, and he went and hanged himself probably because he felt sorry for himself. When he probably would have had the opportunity to go to Christ and repent. Well, probably not at that point, but he could have. he could have repented. He could have truly repented, and the Lord would have forgiven him.
Just like he did Peter. And we go back to Acts 1:18, which gives a pretty disgusting example. I mean, what happened to Judas.
Yeah.
Peter says, "Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." And this is Peter giving this account of what happened to Judas. And I think of how Judas hung himself, but Peter had a ministry where God used him in the first 12 chapters of Acts. If you look at that, you see Peter all through that. Mm-hmm. And he sought forgiveness and had a change of mind. And he did something different. He made a mistake, which we've all been guilty of that. But he didn't just repent and go hang himself. He repented and got things right with God. And God used him in a mighty way. He was sorrowful like Judas, but Judas never had a change of mind. It is said, but not recorded. Many people believe that he was crucified upside down because he felt that he was not worthy to die as a Savior died. I mean, if you want to kind of go into what is the fruit of repentance?
Yeah. So, I mean, and as Sasso spoke about, you know, there's a huge difference between, you know, worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. But how do we know? How do we know if we're having worldly sorrow or godly sorrow? Well, how do we know if we've experienced true repentance? Well, we have to look for evidence or fruit of That's repentance. Right. So I'm gonna read off a few verses here, and we're going to take a look at what this looks like. So in Matthew 3:8, now I'll give you a little context here. This is John the Baptist, and he's challenging the Pharisees. He literally just called them vipers. He told them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you about this?" You know, and then he says this in verse 8. He says, "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." Now, this verse had never popped to me before until I started studying repentance, but it's just interesting. He's telling them, look, you need to bear fruit. If you've truly repented, you need to bear fruit.
Amen.
And then in James 2:18 says, "But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." And this gets taken out of context so frequently because people will come to this verse and say, "Well, you know, it's your Bible says you have to, you know, it's work salvation." Well, no. It's talking about faith first, and then the fruit of the faith is works. So the proof or the evidence of your faith is your works. So you have to look for the fruit. You have to look for the evidence that's there. Then we go to Acts 26:20, which again, you know, just talking. Sasso was mentioning this earlier about King Agrippa, and this is where Paul is speaking to King Agrippa. And he says, "But declared first to those in Damascus and then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and also to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance." So that, again, the fruit, the deeds.
Action.
Yeah. Right. The action is stemming from they're repenting first. They're turning to God. So turning from sin, turning to God, change of mindset. And now they're producing fruit. So we read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old Amen. Things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And again, it's speaking to, there's a change. There was a change. There's a point where you were like the old man, you were sinful. And not that you're not going to be, it's not that you're going to be perfect, but you have had a change of your mind. You're going to, you know, you're going to be bearing fruit that's evident of that true repentance. We read in Galatians 5:19-23, which we all know is the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And, you know, I read that list really quick. But I challenge you, go through that list and ponder each one. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Think about that for a minute. Are you loving your neighbor? You know, I always talk to my boys about it. Are you guys loving each other? Because I see the little, you know, short, snarky comments sometimes, and I'm like, guys, are you showing love to each other? And you look at the next one, joy. Do you really have joy of the Lord? Are you really experiencing that? Do you have peace? You know, we read in Matthew, I believe it's 11:28, one of my favorite verses about, you know, about the Lord giving us rest. Do you have peace unto your soul? And so you have to go through each one of these items here in the fruit of the Spirit and see, do you actually experience these? Is this something you need to pray for? Do we need to pray for true repentance so that you can hear, you can live by the fruit of the Spirit? And again, going back to even the title of our podcast, this is what it is. This is the abundant life right here. You know, so again, Exos is going to close us down here. I think we've covered quite a bit of ground, but you know, I challenge you guys, you know, really ponder and consider, are you producing fruit?
I mean, I like these because you could go through, and this is kind of a repentance checklist, the fruit of the Spirit, and are these things evident? Because I know without repentance, these things are not evident. And leads to a heart issue or a lack of a mind change. And I like to think about, hey, are we sorrowful? Are we repentant? Are we Judas? Are we Peter? Does our actions show repentance? Does our works show repentance? Or do we just continue to feel bad but not do anything about it?
Well, and it's interesting too, because when you're reading through the fruit of the Spirit, I think I mentioned, you know, it's verses 19 through 20, 23. And I don't think I read every one of the verses, but the first part of it is giving the negatives. You know, it's just saying, hey, this is not the way to do it. And then it gives you, you know, okay, it's love, joy, peace. So you can go on that whole checklist and see, because a lot of those really hit close to home.
Things that we do every day.
Right.
That we struggle with.
Exactly.
I think of the words of Jesus, Matthew 4:17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And just as I spoke about earlier, we don't know when our time will come. We don't know if we'll have a deathbed opportunity to repent. Or we don't even know what life God has given us, if he'll give us 50 years, 70 years, 40 years, whatever that looks like. I mean, today is the day, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if today's news or today's things that are happening in our world today don't make you think twice of where you will spend eternity or where you are at spiritually, it should, because it's today is a day. So what would it be today? Will your sorrow pave your way to hell, or will you repent, change your mind to the truth of God's word? Does your life reflect a change of mind, or does it show sorrow, which soon dissipates once the storm is over? And once that trial is over, does that just like, okay, I'm not scared anymore. So I'm good. I don't need God anymore.
Yeah.
Don't be almost persuaded today, but be changed unto salvation by the gospel, which we will discuss in the next podcast.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to just mention a couple things. First, I want to mention that you can subscribe to the podcast. So some individuals have told us, hey, when do you guys release? Well, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, you can subscribe, which you'll get a notification when a new episode drops. If you follow us on Spotify, you can follow us, and I believe you'll get notified there as well. But we're also available on Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. So if one of those platforms suits your needs, then you can find us there. You can always visit us online at abundantlife.fm. And then just want to mention, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We're starting to post a few things there, mostly just, you know, some encouraging Bible verses and that kind of thing. Some of the verses we post are related to some of our episodes. And so again, you know, I just want to mention, you know, that Sasso and I, we're not motivated by seeing a number of downloads. You know, for our podcast, that's not our motivation. But we want our podcast to be shared so that, you know, Christians can have a resource for growing in their walk with God. And that's the point of this. We're not looking for any, you know, trophies or anything like that. We're not looking for a pat on the back or an audience clapping or anything like that. We just want Christians to be encouraged and grow for the Lord, because that's the whole thing. Yeah. This whole change. Yeah. Repent. Right.
Repent.
So change anyway,
for the kingdom.
Yep. So we just wanted to mention that. So definitely if you have a chance, please share the podcast with your friends and your family, even your enemies. And so anyway, just want to say thank you to all of you for encouraging us on the podcast. I know we've had a lot of feedback, and we thank you guys for the encouragement, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. It's going to be on the gospel. So
a couple weeks.
Don't want to miss that. Yeah. Don't want to miss that one. So thanks for listening, guys.
All right. Till next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.